Welcome to Answering the Call with host Elizabeth Ficicelli. In this program, Elizabeth gives us a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious sisters and brothers from the Columbus Diocese who have heard and answered God's call. And here's your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli, and I welcome you to the show today. Answering the Call is an opportunity for us to get to meet up close and personal some of our priests and deacons, our religious in our diocese, sometimes outside of our diocese, and hear the way that God called them in their lives and their spiritual journeys on their way to their current vocation. And the guest in the studio with us today is Father Charles Klinger. He's the pastor of St. Paul's Catholic Church in Westerville, Ohio, one of the largest churches in the diocese. And he's been in the priesthood for 29 years, serving at various parishes and schools, and as well as the Josephinum. We're delighted he's with us today. So welcome to Answering the Call on St. Gabriel AM 820, Father Klinger.
It's a pleasure to be here, Elizabeth.
We're delighted to have you. And Father Klinger comes from a very big Catholic family, lots of extended family. He was born in Marietta, Ohio, and relocated to the Clintonville area when he was just four. And let's pick your story up there, Father, and first tell us a little bit about the kind of Catholic upbringing you had with your family as you were growing up.
Sure. Well, we moved to Columbus, as you said, when I was four, from the Marietta area. And in just a couple of years after that, I started Catholic school at Immaculate Conception in Clintonville, which was a very good experience for me and for my family. In fact, my mother lived in the same house for almost 60 years and belonged to that parish the entire time.
Wow.
So I went to Catholic grade school there, as did all of my siblings, my three siblings. And it was an experience that I wouldn't give up for anything in the world. It was a wonderful time, and we had no idea how blessed we were, of course, living in Clintonville, which is a very good neighborhood, and also being able to go to Catholic school, to have the sisters teaching us and to have that whole Catholic culture that we were immersed in. And so it was really a very fruitful time for me, a time of growth. You know, I had lots of friends. We learned how to pray, how to be Catholic. We learned how to do lots of other things too. The school was excellent. The sisters who taught there were technically known as the Sisters of St. Francis of Mary Immaculate, commonly known as Joliet Franciscans. Mm-hmm. I think there's still a few of them around in the Columbus Diocese. So it was overall really a wonderful experience of being able to grow in faith from early years, and it was a good foundation for my faith.
Would you say it was during those elementary years that you first considered the idea of priesthood?
Yeah, it's hard to remember, you know, when you get older exactly when it was, but I think it was around age 7 or 8, around the time of First Communion. And who knows why? I mean, it's just one of those things that occurred to me. I wasn't one who played Mass or anything like that, but it just occurred to me from an early age that I might have a vocation. I discussed it over the years with the sisters, who were very supportive, and with our parish priests as well. And so it was from a really early age that I thought that I would want to be a priest and that God was calling me to be a priest.
And I would imagine you received the support from your family as well, growing up in that Catholic environment.
Absolutely, absolutely. Not only from my parents, but from my grandparents. I have a very large extended family. I have 40 first cousins on my dad's side alone.
Wow.
And there are a few vocations in those families over the generations. And so they're very supportive of me from the beginning until now. So I did have lots of family support.
Now, after Immaculate Conception School, for high school, you went to St. Charles College Prep, and that was a school for boys. And in those days, there was an emphasis on seminary training. About 10% of the students did go on to the priesthood, and some of the students in those days even boarded there at St. Charles. You were a day student. What was this environment like for your faith development and your continued discernment of the priesthood?
Well, it was a very Catholic environment. You know, we had Mass every day available to us, which was a tremendous blessing to me. In the whole 4 years I was there, I never had one study hall because we just didn't have study halls. You could elect to have study hall if you didn't go to Mass, because, of course, they didn't want to force anybody to go to Mass. But I went to Mass every day. Mm-hmm. And so that was the foundation there, and a very good one. And, of course, we prayed a lot, you know, and on different occasions for different purposes, prayed the rosary regularly. We also had a very good foundation in teaching about the Catholic faith. And it was a time just before the council when there was some stirrings about maybe there needed to be some development in the Catholic Church. So it was a very exciting time. And we had just an excellent education overall anyway. I'm a big fan of St. Charles.
Yes.
To this day. And so we had a tremendous education there, and I'm very grateful for it. I, you know, again, I didn't know how blessed I was. We had our 50th reunion about a year ago.
Mm.
And after we shared all the stories, you know, and all the orneriness that happened and wondered how some of us made it to adulthood, we finally got down to realizing just how blessed we were mm-hmm. to be there and to have a Catholic education.
It certainly is one of the treasures of our diocese. For the benefit of maybe a younger person listening, Father, how did you know in those days as a young person that you had a calling to the priesthood?
Well, I liked what priests did, and I think that's one of the first clues that you get. In particular, I liked what our pastor at Immaculate Conception did. His name was Monsignor John Fagan, mm-hmm. known as Cap Fagan. I'm not sure why that was. But he was a very gentle pastor, a very good shepherd. Everybody loved him. Absolutely everybody loved him. And it was in the days when some pastors could be a little tough, you know. Mm-hmm. But that was not him. That was not the way he was. And he was very supportive and just very kind. And so he was a real model for me. He's probably the greatest model to this day of priesthood in my life. And over the years, from Immaculate Conception, I've counted about 12 or 14 priesthood vocations which have come from that parish. And
wow.
Most of them, the vast majority, almost all of them really, would have been during his time there, which was from about the mid-20s until around 1960, mm-hmm. when he died, in 1960 actually, when he died. And I served his funeral mass in August of 1960, just before I went into my senior year of high school. So he was a great example to me of what it means to be a priest. There were others both in the parish and at St. Charles, a lot of others at St. Charles, who taught me what it means to be a priest, and I liked what they did. I liked who they were. I came from a Catholic family. We believed in vocations. So it basically boils down to I liked what I saw in these men.
Okay. And then from high school, you went directly into the seminary at St. Charles College Seminary. But after 1 year, something happened. And tell us about that time in your life.
Yes. During that year, I began to wonder if the priesthood was for me. And it was definitely a sincere wonderment. You know, I wondered if I could be celibate. I wondered if I was called to celibacy. I wondered if I maybe perhaps was called to marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really a painful experience because I had thought for quite a few years that I would be a priest. And so it was one of those moments, you know, when a lot of anxious moments, a lot of anxiety. And so I did seek the help of some priests who I confided in and so forth. And so I did decide to leave the seminary after 1 year at St. Charles College and went to Ohio State to pursue a degree there. And I thought that it would be good to kind of sort this out outside the seminary rather than inside
mm-hmm.
the seminary, because I really wasn't sure at that point if I was called to be a priest after all.
So at OSU, you got a history degree and a master's, is
correct.
That correct?
Yeah.
And because your desire then was to teach.
That's it was. I thought that I would like to be a college professor. Later on, I went to the University of Minnesota to get a doctorate there in medieval history. And during that time, I taught at the university while I was getting my degree, and was involved in a variety of other activities, including, of course, in the local parish church, which was the Newman Center, interestingly enough, called the St. Thomas More Newman Center, just like the one here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never stopped being involved with the church throughout all that time. Had some really good experiences with friendships, and my faith grew actually during that time. And I really thought for a long time that I was called to be a layman, so and to be to work out my life as a history teacher and maybe get married, you know.
Mm-hmm. But obviously that is not what you would end up becoming. So what was it that once again turned you back to the church, the priesthood?
Well, I couldn't shake it, really. You know, every so often it would come back to me, and I sort of looked behind me to see which Charlie was being called.
Mm-hmm.
But as it turned out, it was me, and I couldn't shake it. And it wasn't so much that I ran away from God or anything like that. I was busy with many things, and many good things, including my studies, my teaching. And so, but it just wouldn't go away. And so finally I had to face it, and I did.
And you had a friend in those years that also was on a journey. Tell us about him and the impact of, really on each other. It sounds like you had a big impact on each other.
Right. This is a very interesting story. I was in Minnesota for 12 years, and a lot of things happened that I had a series of groups of friends, really, because I was in graduate school. I also taught for a while in some of the extension programs of some of the schools in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. And I also worked for a while at St. John's College or University in Collegeville, which is a distinguished place of learning, and especially scholarship in the liturgy. And I worked in the manuscript library there. They had an interesting institution there, which is still there, where they had, in those days, microfilm manuscripts in Europe, mm-hmm. medieval manuscripts, and I cataloged them and was part of that life at St. John's, the academic life there, which I loved and appreciated. So I had many groups of friends, but one of my friends whom I knew when I was still studying history and finishing my PhD degree was a guy who was also studying. He was actually studying the history of medicine, and we became very good friends. And he was from New England, and we hit it off. And he and I were both pretty much committed to the Catholic faith. And during the time of our friendship, one of the things that happened, and we were in a rather large group of friends, but one of the things that happened was that both of us decided that we were going to be a priest, and he decided for the first time, I decided for the second time. I always say he went off the deep end and joined the Capuchin Franciscans and went off and did missionary work. He's a very adventuresome kind of person. And I came back to Columbus because I've never felt called to religious life, but rather to the diocesan priesthood. So that's the short version of that story, and a short version of lots of stories.
It sounds like really God put you guys in each other's path to kind of to hear that discernment and to follow it, to give each other the courage to follow that kind of a call.
Very much so, and I think it's probably fair to say that neither of us would be a priest if we hadn't met, or at least there's a good chance of that. So.
That's right. And the thing I love about your story, Father, is that you know, when a young man enters the seminary, it is to discern the calling. And that's a really important point. And I don't know if that was what was emphasized to you back in the days when you first entered the first seminary, but today that's very much the purpose. This is where a man can really hear God, spend time with him and say, am I called to this? Or am I called to married life or the single life? So I think that in your case, you questioned that call and that was important. God, you know, let you wander a little bit, but it wasn't even wandering, because as we'll see with the rest of your story, that history degree would play a part in your future, in your vocation. But in the meantime, when you had discerned this, you reapplied to the priesthood and were accepted at Catholic University in Washington. And was it an easy process to reapply to the priesthood?
It was, and surprisingly so. I think when I was in the seminary the first time, discernment was not quite as focused as it is now, and I think it's better now that mm-hmm. it is so focused. But I was able to discern my way out and to discern my way back in with the help of God's grace. And when I had left the seminary the first time, I thought that I probably would not ever be able to get back in. It didn't even occur to me that I would want to get back in. But in those days, I think the theory was that if you left, it meant that you were not meant to be a priest, that mm-hmm. God was not calling you to be a priest. But somewhat to my surprise, when I did put out some feelers to a priest here in Columbus whom I knew from high school days, it became very clear that it would not be hard for me to get back into the seminary. And I was delighted about that, because once I made my decision to be a priest, or to at least to go to the seminary, it's up to the church to decide who becomes priest. But when I decided to go to the seminary again, it was, in fact, I remember the date, it was on February 27th, 1979. It was my father's birthday. That's just a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
But from that time on, I've never looked back from that day on. And in fact, a couple of months before that, I had been in a church named St. Olaf. Not too many Catholic churches are named mm-hmm. St. Olaf in the United States, but it's in Minneapolis, of course, where there's a large Scandinavian population. Mm-hmm. I was at daily mass during Advent in the evening, and that's when I decided that I really had to face this once and for all, that I had to decide what I wanted to do. And basically that night I did decide that I wanted to be a priest, or at least to explore that. And then a couple of months later, I made the final decision on February 27th.
And what was the experience like in Washington, D.C., to go to seminary there at Catholic U?
Well, you know, it was a fabulous experience. I mean, a great blessing to be in that city where there is so much history and culture. You could take the metro down to the museums there on the mall, and you were able to just take in all of that culture, drink all of that in. Catholic U was a great theological school, tremendous place. People like Avery Dulles were there at the time.
Wow.
And so I got a very good theological education, probably the best that you can get, or could get at least in those days, in a Catholic theological school, a Catholic seminary. So that was definitely a blessing for me. And that was suggested by the vocations people, personnel here in Columbus, that I go there. And I was happy to be able to do that.
We're talking with Father Charles Klinger of St. Paul's Catholic Church in Westerville, and he's our guest today on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. And I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. Now, Father, you were ordained a priest in 1983 at the age of 40. So a new chapter in your life had begun, and I'm going to give, for the benefit of our listeners, a quick rundown of the places that you've served in the past 29 years. You started at St. Mary's in Marion, and also taught at Marion Catholic during that time. You worked part-time at the Josephinum for about 6 years teaching history, and while you were there, you were involved in the formation process as an advisor, and you also provided spiritual direction. You were assigned at St. Brendan's in Hilliard for 2 years, St. Joseph's in Plain City as pastor for 4 years, and then a kind of a fork came in the road. You had an opportunity, a pastoral opportunity opened at St. Nicholas in Zanesville at a time when you could have gone full-time for teaching at the Josephinum. So was it hard to make this decision at that point, because you seemed to love both things?
It really was very hard, and I basically decided that I wanted to be a pastor more than I wanted to be a seminary professor. Once you have teaching in your blood, I think it never goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you do something like that, when you make a tough decision like that, you do have to let something go. And there's always a little bit of wonder if you made the right choice. But as the years go by, you know, it's affirmed more and more that I made that right choice, because I do love being a pastor, and I have opportunities to teach in the parish and sometimes outside of the parish as well. But it was a similar decision that I made when I left Minnesota. I really loved Minnesota, and when I decided to be a priest, it was almost as big a wrestling match as to where I would be a priest,
mm-hmm.
as to whether I would be a priest or not. So, but yeah, it was a hard decision to leave seminary teaching, but all that time I had been still in parish work, so It was something that I was very familiar with, and I just couldn't see myself being anything other than a pastor.
So you were serving at St. Nicholas for 12 years, and then for the past 9 years, you've been at the helm over at St. Paul's in Westerville. I believe that is the largest parish in the diocese.
It is
that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So let's take a minute to talk about that parish, because for starters, you have that brand new, beautiful church building. But I know the people and the programs are special there too. But what can you tell listeners who may be unfamiliar with St. Paul's, what that parish is like?
Sure. Well, it is a large parish. We have 4,500 plus families, and it's growing all the time. Every wow. week, I sign a number of welcome letters to new parishioners. It's a very friendly parish. In fact, I was a deacon there for a whole year after I left the seminary. I got out of the seminary after 3 years of theological school, which I don't think you could do these days, but I did because I had so much other education. And I finished my formation as a full-time deacon at St. Paul's in Westerville from 1982 to 83, and I was ordained in 83. So that was a rich experience. And the people there were just so friendly, and that's why I came back later. That's why I applied for it later when I had the opportunity, because even though it's a very large parish, and even in those days it was already 2,500 families, this would be in the early 80s, it was still a very, very friendly place, and that's what it is now. So that's the first thing. Second thing is that we have a focus on helping people. We have a focus on ministering to those in need. And so we have a very well-developed St. Vincent de Paul Society, which, by the way, the first year I was there, I helped to renew. We also help people in many other ways. There's a local organization called the Westerville Area Resource Ministry, which is an ecumenical group that reaches out to people, and which, by the way, started at St. Paul's as Paul's Pantry 40 years ago. In fact, 40 years ago this year, they're celebrating that. So it grew into something a lot bigger where they actually do some job counseling and a lot of other support for people who are in need. And so we have a lot of other ministries that help people in need. In addition, you mentioned the church. We love our new church. It is a place of beauty. We wanted to have a traditional church. The people in the survey that we gave them at the beginning of this process, which, by the way, took 7 years from beginning to actual dedication of the church. The building only took about a year and a half, the construction, but it took 7 years for us to plan and then to build. And the people told us right away they wanted a traditional church. I wanted a traditional church. So we constructed a traditional Romanesque church, but has a kind of modern feel to it because it's very intimate, very warm. So it's a place of prayer as well as a place of beauty. It's in the form of a cross, which is the traditional Romanesque and Gothic form of church. It's really wonderful. It's really beautiful. There's a lot of art in it. Just a tremendous cultural piece. Mm-hmm. And we love it.
It is beautiful. And I invite the listeners, if they haven't had a chance to experience Mass there, to do that. You can see the dome from, it just seems like quite a distance as you're approaching Westerville. It's just a beautiful setting to celebrate the glorious Mass that we have as Catholics. Now, Father, as a priest of 29 years, what do you find most rewarding and most challenging about your vocation?
Well, I think most rewarding is to be able to lift people up. I think a lot of people are down a lot of time, and just to be able to lift them up, to be with them in their moments of sorrow and in their moments of joy, to be able to make them understand that God is on their side, that God loves them, that God forgives them. And I am especially happy about the ministry that I have in the Sacrament of Reconciliation. I think that people who really care about their sinfulness and who come there sometimes need to be reassured that God really does forgive them, He really does love them, and that he wants to show them His mercy and is very happy that they have come and opened themselves up to God. So I think one of the most rewarding parts of my ministry is just to be with people at those peak moments, and especially at the moments when they need a lift, I think. Mm-hmm. The challenge is always just the tremendous number of ministries that you're called upon to perform. And there's a good side to that, too, because one of the wonderful things about being a priest, and I would say this to anyone who's thinking about it, is that it's a tremendously diverse experience. There's such a variety of ministry. It can overwhelm you at times. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's when you have to have that perspective to realize that God's on your side too, and that God supports your ministry and wants to help you to see it through and to be healthy, you know, to be able to take some time off. Remember that Jesus took some time off. Jesus went away to pray, went away to rest. And so I think the rewarding part is to be able to help people understand just how much God loves them. And then the more challenging part is to be able to do it all.
Beautiful words from Father Charles Klinger of St. Paul Catholic Church. And could you leave us with a blessing, Father?
Certainly. Lord, we ask your blessing upon all of the people who might be hearing this program. We ask your blessing, especially on all those who might be discerning a religious vocation to the consecrated life, to religious life, or to the priesthood. We ask that you help all of those folks who might be considering being priests, all those men who might be considering being priests, and all of those others who might be considering religious life, to be able to feel God's support and to be able to be honest about where God is leading them. We also ask God's blessings upon everyone, that he or she might know their vocation and be able to hear God's call and to answer it courageously. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. And thank you again, Father Klinger, for being a guest on the show. And we'll see you next week for another episode of Answering the Call.
If you know a priest, deacon, or religious sister or brother that might be interested in telling St. Gabriel listeners how God inspired him or her to answer the call, please contact us at info@stgabrielradio.com.